Warning, the Banzai Beat contains explicit language and may not be suitable for all listeners or fans of Neo Genesis Evangelion.
Several anime companies have gone bankrupt. 1,337 anime fans have been sued. All the while, the Banzai Beat has been there to deliver you the latest in news, show reviews, and discussions from both the experienced and novice anime fans' point of view. And now, broadcasting from a deserted island so Funimation's lawyers can't find them, here are your hosts, Delacune and Zach.
In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew.
Welcome back to another episode of the Banzai Beat. Joe Coon.
I'm Zach.
This week we are going to be reviewing the ever popular Steins Gate. A show about time travel and death.
Yeah, that's a good summary.
That's about it. Yeah.
There we go. Review done.
Yep, done. Go watch it. It's great. Well, usually we start off by what anime have we been watching? And I know you've been busy traveling the world, a.k.a. the next state or so over.
Yeah, one whole state, all the way to Chicago. So, I still watch some anime, but yeah.
What have you been watching?
Well, I'm currently in a phase where I haven't really committed to anything. It's strange. I've started like a million series and haven't followed through on any of them.
So let's
go over what I started. I started the new Baka and Test.
Woo!
Because I got to mooch off your Funimation.
But, now, hey, I'm curious. I mean, I don't want to get you off, though. But right. The last episode, I ranted and raved about how bad it was. What did you think?
Oh, wait, did I say... I just started watching it.
I'm sorry. Let me clarify. Not the show. The actual video service.
Oh,
the website and stuff.
Yep, the last time we talked, you talked about that, and yeah, that's my experience too. It takes forever to buffer. You can watch it in 720 if you have like 30 minutes to wait for it to buffer, I guess.
And did you get any viruses?
No, I don't think so. Well, good question, but my virus blocker didn't detect anything.
Yeah, so now you'll be in a state of fear going, oh crap.
Well, like, I have all, like, the script blocks and stuff for Firefox, so
gotcha.
I'm probably safe in that regard. I don't know if it tried to give me a virus, but it was slow.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Sorry, I'll let you continue now.
So, my experience with the show was average, but I don't know about the subscription. I only watched two episodes, and it was kind of strange, because, like, all of a sudden they're at the beach, and I thought they were supposed to be at school, but...
You've only seen the first two episodes.
Yeah, only the first two, and both were at the beach, so I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was supposed to be at school, so it's still funny, but I think the first season was funnier so far.
Yeah.
So I watched that, and then I caught up on I Don't Have Many Friends, the second season.
I have yet to watch that.
I like it better than the first one.
Really?
It's like they finally decided to just go with humor instead of like trying to do both, because they couldn't do both very well, like a story and humor, so.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they just picked one, and it's pretty entertaining.
Now, how many episodes that has aired? Seven?
I only watched five. I thought there was five, so.
Oh, okay. I haven't started it yet. Okay, no, definitely I'm going to check it out then, because, you know, it's the one thing I've been meaning to check out.
Yeah, it's like the one I was going to actually watch this season, and so far it's okay. I started some classics, Cowboy Bebop and Great Teacher Onizuka.
Two very good shows.
See, that's why I can't commit to any one show, because I like them all. So I'm two episodes in on both of those. I don't know why I just started so many. Like, I put some on my pad of nondescript tablet. But anyway, so on my nondescript tablet, I watched some that I put on there when I was riding the train to Chicago. And I just put, like, a little of each series because I didn't know which one I'd like.
Yeah.
And I ended up liking them all. So,
you're like,
kind of in a strange place. Yeah, I don't know what I should decide on.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get to them eventually, so whatever.
Right. I have time. And what else? I started My Ordinary Life, or Nichijou.
Nichijou?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm three episodes in. Like, it's entertaining, but it's really random.
Whoa, what episode are you through?
Three.
Oh, okay. At least 10. Yeah, I can only get about through 4 or 5 myself, and it was like, all right, more random. And there was some stuff that are pretty funny, and I just don't see the reason why everyone's like, this show's so fucking amazing. Oh, my God, this show is great. It's like, okay,
yeah.
What am I missing?
That's the reason I started it, too. And, I mean, it's funny, and it looks good. It's, like, animated really well, but it's not, like, a great series, in my opinion, but... Who knows? I'll reserve my opinion until I finish it. And then I've been keeping up with the airing shows I've been watching, which is Psycho Pass, From the New World, and Blast of Tempest.
There you go.
So that's all I've been watching.
Yeah, I finished Bakugan Test 2. I even have a review written up in advance. So look for that in the pipeline in the next coming weeks. I also got caught up to Psycho Pass. I was at about episode 10 that I last saw, and I got up to episode 16, and, oh, so good.
I know. I've been telling you.
Very, very good. And I'm actually, you know what, I'm really glad that I got to marathon through that part, because probably 10 through 16 has been the most intense.
Yeah,
and now
agree.
Episode 16
11
has,
on is really intense.
Yeah, and episode 16 had this really big cliffhanger, unfortunately. But I like the fact that I was able to marathon them and be like, bam, one after another, no waiting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what probably made it so much better, too, because I wasn't waiting week to week.
I don't know. They did well with the cliffhangers, so I was eager to watch it each week. But
no, I understand, but it was nice to be like, yay, get the payoff now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also started watching Eyes Peer. Watched about half of the first episode, and I just don't know if I want to commit.
What is that one about?
That was the... Remember the episode we reviewed last time was Eyes? Eyes Peer is the 6th episode... OVA, like, it's to be more in-depth than, like, telling about it.
More in-depth, like, about the giant flood.
Exactly.
Tree Island.
Yes. And more ways to, you know, teach us how to frighten girls by doing wheelies on our motorcycles.
That is important. Good life skill.
Yes, when I go to interviews, I'm like, take that bitch, hire me.
Yeah,
I will rape you. Yeah, so I watched about half of that. And
it's,
like,
not any better.
It's not, and I just don't know if I want to sacrifice my boredom for that show. Because it's nothing. It's like one of those shows nobody talks about. So it's like, why?
Maybe for good reason.
No, exactly. I also watched Project Aiko, a show that it seems like it has really high regard because it was one of the first shows brought over to America back in the early 90s. Ooh. And, the one thing I gotta say I learned was our tropes have not changed in nearly 30 years. Well, more 25, but still, the tropes of... being late to school, and toast, and...
running with toast in mouth.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but yeah. It was like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ. The show is from 1986. Why are the same themes I see in the shows today still here?
They'll be popular forever. Exactly. Human nature never changes. They'll always be eating toast and running late.
Exactly. So I'll have a review of Project Echo. I only watched the movie, which is, you know, the first thing that came out. I didn't watch any of the other OVAs or spinoffs or anything like that. So I just thought I'd watch Project Echo because everyone was, you know, everyone's always talked about it as a highly regarded series. So I figured, hour and 24 minutes, not wrong, not bad. Let's watch it. So that is what I've been watching. I have all of Robotics notes downloaded. And I've been trying to bring myself to click the play button.
Yeah, that didn't seem to be very popular.
Yeah, it's even after watching Steins Gate, it's like, well, okay, same world, nothing else.
Yeah, it's hard to live up to Steins Gate.
Well, that too. So.
Okay.
This week in anime news, brought to you by Anime News Network.
Hooray for that. All right. So were you, have you seen High School of the Dead?
I have.
As have I? Well, if you liked it so much, you can go read the manga because it's starting back up. And there are going to be 6 volumes in all color. So Fujima Studios, Fujima Shobo's March issue of Dragon Age. Jesus Christ, how many magazines do they have? Magazine announced on Saturday that the High School of the Dead is coming back. So it'll start in spring. There's no change to the manga's title. So yeah, yay for that. It's been on hiatus since March of 2011, so everyone who's still liking the show, or in this case liking the manga, can look forward to something.
Yeah, I knew the manga was like written past the show, but hopefully with extra stuff they'll end up making more episodes.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have any interest in reading it.
Yeah, neither do I. The thing I did find, though, was, you know, they're doing 6 volumes in complete color. And I thought to myself, why isn't that done more often? I mean, I know color costs more money. I used to work in the print industry, so, I mean, you know, there's more that needs to get done on the production side. And, the costs obviously go up. You know, colored ink versus black and white aren't,
not the same.
Yeah. But, I always thought, though, it's like, why don't we see more manga in color? And I'm thinking maybe it's tradition?
Yeah, maybe.
Because, you know, when the first manga started, there was no color.
I guess.
So. And just the thought I had reading the story, I was like, man, why don't we see more? Because that'd be interesting. Maybe keep things more, Anyway, moving on. Lovely Complex, U.S. DVDs and manga to be reprinted. Oh, so have you watched any of the show?
I watched one episode and gave up because someone said it was like Toradora and it wasn't.
Exactly. Thank you. Someone said the same thing to me and I was like, well, I'll check it out. And I got through 5 or 6 episodes and I was like, oh, fuck, you can read the freaking ending from the first episode.
Yeah, it's really boring.
And people are like, oh my god, this show! Oh, it's so funny, and it's so awesome, and it's so cute. Oh, she's so tall, and he's so short.
She's so tall.
Oh, just like,
her being tall must be the best selling point.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's about it.
That's about all I got from it.
All it was girls too afraid to tell guy, and guy's like, fuck you. Yeah. Basically, Discotech. It's like, yeah, we're going to buy the Lovely Complex, also known as Lovecom. And they're going to release a box set on July 9th. It's 24 episodes long, and it's going to be completely English subtitled. I don't think this ever got a North American release, so I think it's a first.
Huh.
I don't know if it's going to sell very well, though. But, I mean, it's nice to see that Discotech...
to both of us.
What's that?
It got recommended to both of us, so it might...
Yeah, but the internet... Like it. Internet's one thing, though. That's kind of the problem, is... You can use Haruhi and Lucky Star as examples of... Everyone on the internet said, oh my god, if this was released in America, I would buy it. Oh, I would so buy that show. It is so great. So Bandai was like, alright. Here's some Haruhi Suzumiya. And it didn't fucking sell. So then Lucky Star came out the next year. People were like, oh my god, Lucky Star, oh that show. Oh my god, if that was released in America, I'd so buy that. So again, they released it. And bam, no one bought it. And yet, I can think of a couple negatives to say. Such as the Haruhi Suzumiya. They did some really wonky release where... Well, both these releases had limited edition releases. And this is in 2007, 2008, where singles were still the norm, but things were moving to box set. But,
right.
They had the LE for the Haruhi Suzumiya. They had the LEs with the TV version of the show out aired in Japan. And then the standard editions or had it in a different order. And then the Lucky Star LEs had those god awful butt ugly shirts. Then I think you will be arrested if you wear out in public.
I have not seen them.
Go Google Lucky Star LE t-shirts. They are literally just pictures of what the girls would wear. There is one that is a school swimsuit. There is one that is a cheerleader's outfit. It is not very good.
Oh, I see them.
I swear, you'd be like labeled a pedophile and arrested if you were to wear these.
I love the cheerleader one. So creepy.
Or you can get the sailor suit.
But of course, because wearing a shirt that looks like girls' clothing is the best idea.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, you guys spent $70 or $60 or whatever their LE costs were. I mean, you can get these things now for like a nickel from Right Stuff. They're like... They're easy to find.
No one
wants
them. I
remember, what was it, 2 years ago, I think it was? They actually had a deal on Right Stuff for their Christmas. It's like you could buy the entire LE box set for like $80.
It's like a third the price.
And, yeah, it was crazy. Kind of wish I did that. I still want Haruhi. Lucky Star I could do without, but I still want to get Haruhi. But yeah, so Lovely Complex, getting back on the subject, sorry. Lovely Complex, getting a release here in America. It'll be subtitled, all 24 episodes. And Viz Media was like, oh, hey, guess what? We're gonna re-release a manga too. Oh, and a live-action adaptation of the movie. So, yay to that.
There's a movie?
There's a movie, apparently.
I don't feel like I'm missing out somehow.
Viz Media's Shoujo Beat. That thing's still here in America? Huh. The manga's being reprinted and should be available in a couple months. So, yay to that. Apparently, that's the hot thing now, is shows from 2009 getting released 4 years later.
So no one can buy them.
Well, everyone can buy them now.
Right, but no one will.
Exactly. I don't know. If you're going to buy this, let us know. BonsaiBeat@gmail.com. I want to hear your reasoning. I mean, granted, you're going to probably say, I like the show. So, but still.
Something more in-depth.
Yes.
Hopefully we bashed it enough to encourage you to come say something.
Send us your positive, comments. Defend your show, damn it.
Stand up for something.
Stand it up. Ori Emo's second season to cover the end of the original novels. So that show about liking your little sister. An okay show with a very poorly chosen title.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like even embarrassed to like put the damn thing in the... I don't know. When I originally reviewed this, I was like afraid. I was like embarrassed to put this even in the thing. I was like, Jesus Christ. Because I have a lot of people on Facebook who follow me as well.
Uh-huh.
And I splash whatever from these podcasts on there. I like quickly, I was like, delete!
They're just going to like see the byline. They're like,
no
oh,
one
wow.
saw that. So the second season of Ori Emo. Or what was it? My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute. What's that?
I said that's the best name.
Yes. Yeah. We'll adapt the plot of the original light novel series all the way through the final novel volumes. The first season, including this series' alternative ending, or the quote-unquote true route, included the story up to the fifth light novel volume. The season two will continue through the expected 12th volume, both the final published novel volume and the second anime season are planned to end at the same time. Well, aren't you fucking over? Like, who the hell wants to read it then?
I don't know.
Hey, our sales for volume 12 just fucking tanked.
That's
I wonder why.
Say. I was going to be like, I'm very curious to know what happens. Maybe I'll read the novels, and then I realized I could just watch the show in 2 months.
Exactly. Like, hey, guess what, kids? Watch instead of read. The final 12 episodes of Ori Emo were broadcast on television with the four quote-unquote true route episodes released online and on home video. Did you ever watch those?
I did.
What? I never watched them because I was already like, when I started reading about what that true route might be, I was like, okay, I'm fucking done. Was it as bad as I thought it was?
No, it's just like, she goes away to America. Mm-hmm. Not to spoil it.
Oh yeah, spoilers, kids.
Instead of her staying there. And yeah. He just spends more time with that other girl with the black hair.
Oh, okay, so he finally gets some loving.
Well,
wait,
no,
the girl with the glasses?
There's none of that in the whole show.
That's true.
He doesn't stay with his sister's friend.
What's the okay? Is it the black haired girl with the glasses, the otaku girl, or the other girl that has?
It's the one that dresses up as a cat.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yep. Okay.
And then at the end, his sister just comes back from America because she misses him, and that's it. So it's like the same show. Like the episodes were good,
okay.
But it's not any different.
I don't know. I was, like, scared when I was like, pregnancy, murder, this. I'm like, what the fuck?
Murder.
Like, okay, I'm done. I suffered through the first season. I honestly don't even know if I'll watch the second season.
I liked it. So
yeah, it was all right. I don't know. We'll see when that bridge needs to be crossed. Did you ever watch
Fair
the
enough.
Show Rokubu?
No.
Oh. How the fuck this got an American release, I'll never know.
I just love the name of it.
Well,
Rokubu.
I mean, yes. And then you find out what the show's actually about, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? So the second season of Rokubu, or in Rokubu SS, is scheduled to air this summer in Japan. And more information will be announced at the Dengeki Buroko Spring Festival. So wait, do they have these spring festivals like in outdoors? Like, I imagine like Woodstock for anime nerds.
Maybe. I mean, it's
like,
a spring festival.
We need to get you some vitamin C. It's springtime. We will announce anime. You must come out of your homes and
showers are mandatory.
Free Stridex and degree antiperspirant for all. Well, holy shit. Well,
so
maybe not. Holy fuck, I would not go to this. And this is like badass. Never mind. I thought that was the ticket price of this festival. Okay, there's also a PSP game coming out for $110. And for $60. So, go buy the game where you can molest girls.
So that's
basketball.
What it's about? So
no,
I should go buy the game?
Yes, you should buy the game. Hardcore.
All right. I don't even speak Japanese, but if I get to molest children.
Exactly.
Now the FBI's on to me.
We're horrible people. So basically, it's a show about these elementary school girls who are horrible at basketball. And this
because they're elementary school girls.
Pretty much. All right, well, talking about Roy Kubu and editing the podcast, I had remembered, oh yeah, I talked about that show back when it originally aired. I've actually dug up the clip from episode 117, and here's what I said. That's another so-so one. Roy Kubu, the lolly basketball anime.
Yeah, that was that's third on their list.
I don't know what to say about this because it's so fucking hard. On the one hand, I like the premise of the story. Mm-hmm. Reluctant guy on the high school team has to coach a bunch of girls who only one of them even knows how to play basketball remotely, you know, any decent. Well, the other three are just there. And but here's the thing. So, what I don't like about it, these little girls dress up in maid costumes and cat costumes and stupid retarded shit.
All the stuff that makes it disturbing.
But no, it gets worse. They show them bathing relentlessly.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them has fucking titties. She is in sixth grade. She is taller than the rest of the girls. And she's got freaking titties. What the fuck is wrong with anime? And they show them bathing. And just bubbles are close. You know, it's like, why the do we need to see this? I am not watching anime to watch sixth graders take fucking baths. Fuck you, Japan. You tug at my heartstrings because I like the core premise of the show.
Right.
On the surface, at first I was like, yeah. And then you watch it and you're like, yeah, this could go somewhere. I'm two episodes deep and not hating it, but I could stand a lot less with bathing episodes where they're like, hey, let's go bathe and have gratuitous shots of us with the bubbles all over our you know, flat chests. Let's say there is a little bit of a titty in there. Oh, it's awful. I don't get it. It frustrates me.
That's funny. I just love the synopsis. After the old team captain got himself involved in a scandal with little girls. That's what I clicked on one of the characters that coaches them, and he says he replaces the person who got removed because of a lolicon scandal.
And I don't blame him, because the girls are like, hey, let's invite this shit.
It's their fault.
It is their fault.
Hasegawa Subaru joined the basketball club at Nanashiba High, only to have his hopes dashed when the team's play is suspended after the captain is suspected of having inappropriate feelings for the coach's underage daughter.
Dun, dun, dun. That's like red flag number one.
Yeah. Blindsided and blocked by bad luck, Subaru unexpectedly, or actually expectedly apparently, finds an opening for his talent with the hoops when his aunt asks him to take on the task of coaching a young girls' basketball club. A Rokubu. Apparently that's the name of the club. But can a superstar wannabe find true satisfaction while playing six man to a team of five girls? So yeah, that's the synopsis.
Go watch a show. I would love to hear your opinion. Go watch an episode.
I'll watch all of it. It's a challenge.
Oh, challenge accepted, motherfucker.
But I'm at college. I'll have to do it discreetly.
Exactly. What are you watching there? Nothing!
Just little girls. They're just trying to play basketball, and then they're naked. Hmm.
It's like Mighty Ducks, I swear.
That's it. I'll watch it with all my sports buddies. Here we go.
There you go. All right. Any other news?
Just the Angel Beats thing I found. I saw on Reddit that they're making another visual novel to take place after the anime series. But when I went to confirm it on the website, it's in Japanese, which I cannot read.
Well, you can make up lies.
Yeah, so I'm taking it on good faith that this is going to be the best visual novel ever, and it's going to be about my favorite show. So I'm looking forward to it, assuming it happens.
Oh, just wait. Your favorite show will be replaced soon enough.
By Rokubu.
Exactly.
It's the new best movie show.
All right. Well, that is the news. Not too much going on. Which is probably a good thing. But soon enough, there will be more news.
True.
All right, let's get into DVD picks.
It's another week, and more DVDs are being released. What should you get? It's time for the weekly DVD picks.
Oh, yay. What should we watch and buy? Why the hell does the sale say ADV Films? I thought they were dead.
I don't know.
So, this is for... Ah, screw it. We'll say the 12th. Oh, wait. Yeah, the 12th and the 19th.
Okay, because today is the 12th.
It is the 12th, you're right. Go buy these now. You can get New Fist of the North Star. Fushugi
Is it better than Old Fist of the North Star?
Probably, because new.
It's new.
Waiting in the Summer from Sentai Filmworks and Inuyasha, the Final Act, Set 2. And then you've got Baka and Test, the OVA Special Collections, which you can already watch on Funimation.
If you have the patience.
If you have the patience, exactly. Kamisama Dolls, Tagama Baki, and Tiger and Bunny, which has taken them for 9 million years to release.
Have you seen it? I've heard interesting things about it.
Yeah, so have I. I haven't watched it myself. I did watch the trailer that Sentai came out with like the little clippy thing for Neon Alley, and it seemed interesting, but I just haven't. I haven't watched it yet. But it's probably something I am going to check out because everyone was like, "Oh, the show's awesome." My old co-host even liked it, and he never watched anything new.
I just want to know when Roku Boo comes out.
Roku Boo comes out? Oh, man. We better F3 search on this bad boy. F3. Roku. Oh, that's not it. Let's see. Boo.
No. Boo.
It's Barney.
Well, the first one's already out, I think. So, but that's where I have to start. Were they making a second season? Isn't that the news we just covered?
Yes.
I don't even know when it comes out. All I know is... Railgun will soon be mine.
There you go. You are looking forward to that.
Yep. I'm going to mention it every week because I don't want anything from this week until it finally comes out.
I would probably say... I'd probably say the Bakken tests, the seasons, these specials, just because I'm a completist. So, that's another
thing
I
could
say.
I guess if I had to pick Tiger and Bonnie, but I don't really know. But it sounds interesting. And it's on Blu-ray, so it must look good.
Yes, exactly. It must look good.
1080p elitist right here.
Ah, yeah. All right. So let's see, Steins Gate. Do you want to take the lead on this review?
No, thanks. I'll chime in a lot.
You son of a bitch. Now I actually have to work.
Good. Right. You're the main host, after all.
Yeah, yeah. I could easily get you, I don't know, fix that. Guess what? Promotion. So Steins Gate aired a couple years ago to a lot of fanfare. Funimation picked it up. I watched the dub from Funimation. And so I don't know if there was any edits or anything like that, but basically it's about... a couple main characters. First one named Kyoma. He is like this, I don't know if he's like a genius.
Mad scientist.
He calls himself a mad scientist. And like, we literally meet him like talking into his phone when you can clearly tell he's not talking to anybody. So you kind of get a weird impression when you first start the show of Kyoma.
That he may actually be mad.
Yeah, you're like, okay, what's up with this guy? He also, his new name though is Okabe. And he has a partner, which he calls a hostage, named Mayuri. And Okabe is, what was it, like 18 or so? He's young. Mm-hmm. He's not high
school. He's 20, I think, and she's 18. But
that's it. Yeah, I mean, it was right around college.
Yeah.
And then Mayuri is, like, the quote-unquote hostage. In reality, though, they're childhood friends. And they spend all their time up in this room that they rent above a TV shop.
A CRT TV shop.
Exactly. This is before plasma, but yet
it takes up lots of room. You can't just hang them on the wall.
Nope. There's also a third guy named Daru. He's like the hacker. And I guess you'd call this present time?
Yep, it is.
So we meet Okabe and Mayuri going to a lecture on time travel. And he comes upon a girl's body who's been stabbed. And he, like, freaks out because he's like, holy shit, what's going on?
Yeah, he actually talked to her before.
He had talked to her, like, probably minutes ago. Because, again, when we meet Okabe, he's, talking on the cell phone to himself about the organization and, like, just crazy nonsense.
People are out to get him, like a crazy person.
He's, like, paranoid up the ass. And then he goes into this lecture and then, like, starts screaming and going, "Professor, I debunk what you're saying!" And then, like, just starts spouting nonsense with this girl and whatnot. And then they find her murdered on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, while this is all going on, a satellite has crashed into a top of the same building everyone is in, and he leaves, apparently, and he just text messages Daru, and then it's like, all of a sudden he's like, Groundhog Day, back to the I guess it would be a college, and he meets the girl again, but she's alive. And he's, like, freaking out, like, grabbing her and, like, saying, like, this is some sort of joke. And she's, like, freaking out. And he's trying to figure out why in the world. Yes. And freaking out, like, why in the world are you alive? And that's how Steins Gate starts. And, basically, we learn the name of that girl. Makase Kurisu. She's a really brilliant, 18-year-old girl. She had figured out time travel, or some kind of, like, she was like a super genius.
Mm-hmm. And her father was the professor giving the lecture, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, so basically, they figure out, like, oh, time travel. We can figure this stuff out. And they start putting the pieces together, and they figure out that, hey, our toaster oven, we can go back in time. But there's a bunch of other characters that come in here, outside of this. There is, like I said, Mayuri. She is the childhood friend, as I stated, of Okabe. She's just really bubbly and happily person.
Mm-hmm.
And, I now have her little thing that she does as my notification.
Oh, yes. The tutoru.
Yes. That's my little notification icon or sound. I like the dub version of it better than I did the Japanese version.
I agree, actually. It was more happy. I've seen both, so.
I thought Jackie Ross was like more happier and bubbly than the Japanese dub.
Yeah, that and just they translated everything so well that like the humor still carried across and the vocab that Okabe uses wasn't lost in translation. Like, you can tell he's really smart and stuff, so.
Yes, yes. So she's just kind of there, but she becomes a very significant person in this show. Daru is just a hacker, and I don't know. I like Daru. Like, it was funny because Okabe kept calling him Hack. He'd be like, quiet, Hack. He's like, I'm Hacker. God.
Mm-hmm.
But Daru, I guess you would say a central figure in the show, but not so much so.
Like, I feel like he's more there to keep it, like, grounded.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, the only normal one, really.
Pretty much.
Nerdy, yeah. But, like, normal.
He's nerdy, but he doesn't have, like, the insane smarts of everybody else. Because Kurisu, is, again, super smart. So they, pretty much Okabe and her are, like, battling back and forth all the time. Every little conversation is, like, an argument of, like, test of strength of, like, who can outwit who.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Ruka. She is a he who looks like a she, who thinks she should be a she, but he's actually a he, and just kind of there for plot.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Ferris. Apparently in this show, she started Moe culture. This one lone person.
Yeah, because her family's super rich.
Yep. She has a maid cafe, and she's like... She looks like she's... Oh, she's only 17 and owns a maid cafe.
Makes sense.
Apparently. But she's super cute and always dresses in cat costumes and... Probably my favorite character of the show, Suzuha. At first, she's like the part-time employee of the TV shop down below where everyone kind of hangs out. And she gets really interested in hearing about time travel and kind of what's going on. And she becomes a very key figure in the show. I won't spoil anything because there are some big reveals regarding her character. But she was probably my favorite of the show. Yuko, the, what was his name, Tennoji? He went by FB, basically, or Mr. Braun, in the dub.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Braun.
So, he's the owner of the store. Again, he's pretty pivotal. Then we finally had... Nay or Nai? Nai, that's it. She was the daughter, wasn't she?
Yep, of Mr. Braun.
Yeah.
You missed Moika or whatever, the Shining
that's
Finger
it.
Person.
Yeah, she's not even listed here, I don't think. Yeah,
least favorite
right.
character.
I liked her. I thought her stuff was kind of... I thought her arc was kind of cool. But yeah, so finally there was Moika. Like you said, Shining Finger. All she ever talked through was through a cell phone text message. All these characters pretty much had very, very pivotal plots. And, throughout the story. So basically, they learn that they can control time. So first it starts off with sending text messages back in time. So, like, they tried sending a text message to beat Ferris in a game, and that didn't work. So they tried sending back the lottery numbers, and they're like, well, we don't want to win the jackpot because, we have to be on TV and this and that. We want to keep
no one knew how to spend that much money.
That too, yeah, apparently, living in Japan, being filthy rich, is just really hard to spend all that money because, I don't know.
What would you even do? You'd have to go to the maid cafe every
day. Come on. Couldn't Ferris's father, money laundry or something? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So
they send back the numbers.
They send back the numbers, and again, they screw it up. They basically get screwed up. But eventually, things start getting serious where they break in. Now, CERN is an actual real thing, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, CERN. So... They learn that CERN, I forget the name of it. They're most well known for that Hadron Collider.
The particle collider.
In that research.
Yeah, it's a real thing in real life.
But yeah.
Spelled CERN instead of SERN.
Yep. They learn that CERN has been doing tests since the '70s. And the only way to hack in and learn more information is to get a IBN, N as in Nancy, 5100. Apparently that was super hard to find back then.
Or now,
exactly. So it's like this big plot of they start tinkering with time, and then it grows into a much larger plot of Okabe actually being able to jump through timelines, and things change on every timeline slightly, And then we start building character relationships and love and this and that. And all the main characters kind of actually take on different roles in each timeline. Like things happen. Like Ferris sends back. So basically people start getting to send back text messages back to the past for events they want to happen. So for example, Ruka wants to be a girl instead of a guy. Ferris sends a text message back regarding who knows what. It's revealed in the show. I don't want to spoil it because it's really cool. But these main characters start sending back text messages thinking, oh, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? They'll get what they want. Nothing else. Well, in reality, it's a lot worse than they predicted.
Yeah, it's going to change a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And then, probably, by the time I was done watching the show, I was no longer crying over a certain someone being murdered a bazillion times.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main characters continuously gets murdered for 3 episodes until they can figure out how to fix it. And at first it was really, really sad. And then after a while, like, ah, ah, she got hit by a train.
That was the funniest one. She gets, like, pushed by the little girl.
Exactly. She's like, I'm so sorry. Like, what? You tapped her on the back. Like, hey, how's it going? Whoops, I pushed you in front of that train.
Oh, well.
And he's like, God damn it, not again! Fuck! And I very much learned while watching anime, and I think this show pretty much sums it up nicely. If you are a bad guy in anime, you can get shot or stabbed once, and you will die. But if you're someone of importance in the show, you're like fucking Rambo. People yep. will miss you, and you can get shot many times.
Well, it's like any movie or TV show.
Very true.
The good guys can't lose.
Ever. So, basically the show ends up being like, how do you right the wrong?
Or you could say he lost like 1,000 times before it was right.
There you go. That's actually even better.
It's dramatic and poetic.
It is. And by the end, you have a very much appreciation for all the characters. Even the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really, really enjoyed about this show, was the character plots. Because this is a 24 episode or 26?
24, yeah.
It's 24, okay. The first 12 episodes are slower than molasses.
Yeah, they're entertaining, but yeah, nothing
very
really happens.
But, yeah, nothing particular happens, and you're just like, oh, okay. Come on, do something. But it's all there. By the time it gets to the good stuff in the show, like when the story finally kicks in.
Which I think is halfway, 12.
Yeah, you're right. You have a much better appreciation for the characters.
Yep. It's amazing how much stuff they can cram in without it seeming rushed. Like, it does it really well. They're a really good job.
Yeah,
they just put so much in 12 episodes once it got intense, but it still didn't seem like they were trying too hard.
Yeah. That's what she does. Every damn time she answers the phone. And it's like, fuck. At first it's like, what the hell? Are you brain damaged? And then it gets cute.
She might be brain damaged. She's a hostage.
She is. That is true. That's what I really took away from the show. I really, really liked was the character depth and the relationships that are formed. And, I mean, when everything was kind of playing out, you really felt like you've learned and met these characters, and you're part of the show. You're part of the events.
Yeah, that you actually care about them.
I mean, a little bit of stuff was over the top. You know, like, hey, we need to repair this time machine that no one's ever seen, but yet, we can do it. You know, some silly stuff in there. But definitely check the show out. I could see why everyone really, really enjoyed it.
Avoided spoilers.
We
so
did.
If you haven't seen it, you have to.
I will only spoil a show if it's just so bad where it's like I can't do a review without spoiling.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite character?
Makase. Just because I don't know, she's so smart. So smart.
Oh. Was there anything you didn't like, or like you're kind of like, meh, okay?
Hmm. Mr. Bronze like involvement in it, it just seemed kind of far-fetched. I don't know. Well, I can't give it away, I guess, but
no, I see what you're saying, because
to
like,
me,
the whole...
like the organization should have like confronted them again without spoiling too much.
Yeah.
Whereas instead they're just like, now this one undercover person will take care of all of it. And for a super big organization, like the enemy plot was kind of far-fetched, but it was good.
Yeah, I agree. And
that's the only part that bugged me, because like halfway through the intense part, I'm like, eh, this problem's probably resolved, but they still have this other guy.
Yeah, well, he took care of himself. That plot hole, you know, quickly went away.
Right.
Yeah, I really liked it. I don't know, I can't think of anything I could really say that was bad about it.
Yeah, I don't think anything's bad.
I would love to see, honestly, I'm almost wondering if there's, I mean, there is talk of a movie, so I'm really, really, really excited, because they did set up very nicely for future events.
Oh yeah, the OVA was awesome too.
The OVA was great, although I felt like, eh, it was just another episode they could have thrown in anywhere.
Right,
I was hoping
at least it
for
shows
more.
They can do something outside of the main story, and it's still interesting.
Well, because they're focusing on two characters now.
I like it, because it's my favorite character.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Fair enough. Yes, I was happy, too, by the end. That everything worked itself out.
Yeah, I have to say, while watching it, though, I couldn't decide if she was my favorite or the other girl. So, like, without spoiling it, it was like, upsetting at times.
Oh, you like Suzuha?
No.
Other girl.
Mayuri or...
Oh, Mayuri? Oh, okay.
I could say, because, well... You know, the plot, so he had to pick one.
Yeah. I don't know, Mayuri seemed kind of like a... Well, okay, I guess I got, the one thing that hung me up was, like, the dreams he was having. Where, like, Mayuri was, like, in the desert and, like, talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have did more with that, or explained it. There was these scenes where it was just kind of like a trippy thing of, like, Mayuri talking to Okabe directly about what's going on, but they never dug into that outside of, like, hinting, like, she might know more than she's leading on. But nothing ever comes of it.
I think it's just supposed to, like, set up the show for, like, the people that want extra in-depth, you know, like, guessing and stuff, so. But I read that it was because, like, after time traveling so much, they were tied together on so many timelines that they could just communicate through them. In his dreams, which, I mean, is like a far-fetched fan theory, but it is fun that they edited it.
Yeah.
So gotcha. It's effective, even though they didn't explain it, but yeah, it was a little weird when you watched it.
Gotcha. No, I gave this show a 10, and I rarely give shows a 10. I mean, I could probably go back and watch this show again and find stuff I didn't find the first time around.
Yeah, I watched it subbed, and then when I got it for my brother, I watched it with him dubbed, and it was really great both times. I'm still not bored of it. It is a good show. I gave it a 9 only because I reserved 10 for Angel Beats, but that's just my personal preference. Fanboy.
Exactly.
But it's a great show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Now I really do see why people were like raving about it. But I'm also glad I watched it dubbed, because it seems like one of those shows that you could not... put two and two together, per se. Like, you're busy watching the subs trying to read what's going on. And then
it's a lot of reading.
Things.
It's kind of like Ghost Stories or whatever, Pokemon and Atari. Like, so much happens that it's a lot of reading, but it wasn't confusing when I watched it. I'd say both handled it well, but the dub was really good, so if you're an English speaker, I'd
yeah, this dub was awesome.
Dub. Yeah.
Yeah, the dub was extremely, extremely good. And, I mean, you know, it's a relatively new show, so, I mean, it's not like it's... I mean, it looks great. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Xbox 360 game. Would you be... If you had a chance to play it and understand it, or was to say it was released in America, would you buy it?
Well, this is an interesting question, because I actually have it for my computer, the visual novel you're speaking of.
Really?
And I have played it, because someone did an English patch, and then I illegally downloaded it, of course.
Think of all those people out of a job.
Yeah, okay, out of job.
So, okay, explain the game then. Because like me, I have not touched the game. I have not seen it. I just know of it.
Okay, so when you start playing the game, it has like the same opening theme song, but different video as the opening in the show. And you're basically dropped into right where the show starts. You're like at the vending machine where she gets her little toy.
Her Oompa, I think they call it.
Metal Oompa.
The Metal Oompa. Well, so, apparently you ruined by writing your name on.
Yeah.
It's super rare. Let's write my name on it.
And then lose it. No big deal. All is explained later. The Metal Oompa is probably the most important character in the show.
It is. He did it all. It was him all along.
He is CERN.
Yes, exactly.
Game starts with that scene, and I haven't played that much because, you know, like, reading's tedious, but I was curious enough to open it, and it basically just plays out like the show. I mean, there's probably extra stuff, but it's just like a still life background with the characters that pop up, like most visual novels, and then they talk, and the show is played out in game mode. I don't know how many decisions you even get to make, actually, because I didn't look into it that much. I haven't really played any visual novels, but supposedly you make some decisions, too, because
that's typically what happens in a visual novel. It's just a glorified choose-your-own-adventure novel.
Yep, basically. So it wasn't bad, but you could just watch the show because it's so good, I'd say.
Yeah. I would say my only complaint was because they took 12 episodes to kind of get going. It's kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, it all works itself out. Like, there's good reason why they spent all that time, like, getting to where they were, where they could finally start the bulk of the story. But I felt like, okay, come on, you could push this a little faster. Did you really need to give a full 24 episodes? You know, 12 of them being a lot of backstory, character involvement, you know, this, that, the other.
Yeah. You're right. I don't think so much it's bad. It's just the second half is just so awesome and makes other things look bad.
Yeah, cause, I mean, like, if you're going
to
give
this... It could be that the first half isn't boring. Just compared to the second half, nothing is that exciting, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to say it. Because,
it's like a good show that gets great. There's no really bad part.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, what can you do? Because, I mean, like, in the end of the day, everything is, I'm glad they had that stuff there. I just wish they would have pushed a little faster, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, check it out. Funimation has the first 4 episodes, up on YouTube. You can, go buy the entire show. It's in 2 box sets. And, yeah, go check it out. It's a really, really good show.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say before we head off into the sunset?
Ride off. I think that's it.
All right. Well, until next time, check out www.bonsaibeat.com. Check out our review index. Leave us feedback on iTunes. Or, yeah.
All right. Or do all of them.
Do all of them. Do them now.
We compel you to.
This has been the Bonsai Beat Podcast. If you have any feedback, head over to bonsaibeat.com and leave a comment on the show notes for this episode. While you're there, you can also find our review index, which has a list of all the anime that we've reviewed on the Bonsai Beat Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to add us to your favorite podcatcher. You can find links to do that on our website. Otherwise, we're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio if that's easier for you. Once again, this is the Bonsai Beat Podcast. Thank you for listening. And if you have any other questions or comments, you can send them to bonsaibeat@gmail.com.